Hi, this is Neil Funk, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello, this is Nick Friedel, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye. Hi, this is Chuck Swirsky, and you're listening to Frank on the Chicago Bullseye.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. We have the great Marcus Couch on of the Bulls Show. You can find it at www.chicagobullseye.com. He's also the creator and founder of bulls.fm. How you doing, brother?
Good. And the listeners out there, you can also get to the podcast at bullspodcast.com and at bullspodcast on every social channel as well.
Very enjoyable to listen to. You can also find it at YouTube, right? That's where you're primarily at. Go to YouTube and do a search for...
Yeah, just Bulls Podcast is the username, but we set it up to where it's bullspodcast.com/YouTube, and you get right there, /Spotify, get you to Spotify. We got it all figured out over there, Fred.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I can't thank you enough for all the great work that you did in helping to redo the Chicago Bullseye. I encourage everyone listening to check it out at chicagobullseye.com. You'll find our podcast there, Marcus's podcast that he does with Wise. Also the great one, Doug Tonis. Lots of other good stuff there. So let's get to the lecture at hand, the beloved Bull, the disastrous current state of the team. Today we get the news that Valentine is probably most likely out for the season. It cannot get any worse. There is a light at the end of the tunnel with Markkanen's hopefully immediate return. But what say you on the current state of the team?
Oh, I think we're in full tank mode already. Just 20% into the season. I think that some guys are watching some Duke games and seeing a couple nice prospects that are definitely tank worthy for. And I think with the current state of the Bulls the way they are, I think we're just going to let Zach LaVine do Zach LaVine stuff. We're going to let the young guys develop. Let Jabari walk the second that we can either find a trade partner or let the season expire. And just ride it all out and get a really good draft pick for next year and see what kind of free agents we can bring in with some of that max salary that's going to go away due to a Seek coming off the books, due to Robin Lopez coming off the books.
Jabari's
money is gone. Bobby Portis, not sure of the situation when it comes to him or what he's going to demand, especially since he's out for a good stretch here with an injury. So it's going to be an exciting time next year, but this year I think it's just one of those kinds of, one of those things that we're just going to have to grin and bear it for the time being.
So I'm of the mind that when Markkanen comes back and when Dunn comes back, this team will actually be very competitive. I feel like, Markkanen's the type of player that people would tank for. And you when you bring a talent like that into the starting lineup and you put Parker off the bench who can score for you off the bench, and you bring Dunn back, who's a premier defensive point guard in the league, one of the best defenders, perimeter defenders in all of the NBA, I just feel that the talent upgrade is so massive, especially with Dunn and the delta between him and whatever next at point guard for the Bulls with, Ryan Arcinato or Cam Payne. I think that the Bulls will be very competitive.
Yeah.
And is there a concern?
I got to get on you. There's a concern that you keep getting on Ryan Arcidiacono's case. Has he not proven himself to you by now?
I just don't think he's a difference maker. I understand. Listen, I understand assist to turnover ratio is solid. And, look at his last two games. This is what happens when people start paying attention to him and he starts playing against starters. He's been terrible the last two games. I think he's 3 for his last 12. He's been starting to miss the jumpers. It was a great story. Don't get me wrong, but there's a big difference between performing great in the fourth quarter or against backups, and then when you get moved into the starting lineup, he's being exposed for what he is, a really, a decent, hardworking backup point guard at best. I don't think he's a top 10 player, though, on a good team. I don't think he's in the rotation. Do you disagree?
Well, the last two games have been against some very tough opponents also.
Well, that's
so
that's,
can't knock
what does that say
that
about Ryan? If the level of the opponent is what's hurting him, I mean – we're all over Jabari Parker, but regardless of what you feel about Parker, he played pretty well against these two tough opponents in the first quarter. I understand Ryan does all those intangibles and he's baby Kirk and all that other nonsense, but my only point is I don't think he's in the rotation on a good team. So It's fine to celebrate him, but when Dunn comes, I definitely do not agree with the assertion some have made that him and Dunn are pretty close to each other. I think there's a Grand Canyon between.
No,
Dunn.
I don't think so either. In heart alone, Dunn has got him beat.
Well, hold on a second, Marcus. Do you think, like, next year, you don't want to upgrade the backup point guard position? You're fine with Ryan Arancinato?
I want to get rid of all the point guards next year. I'd like to get an elite free agent point guard into this team.
Oh, even Dunn is what you're saying, too.
What has he accomplished thus far? What's he led the league in? Is he all defensive team?
Well, no, because he's missed a lot of games, but
right.
I think yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's an issue. That's, to me, the biggest issue. The guy can't stay on the court. But when he plays, I think he's a perfect complement to – when you have Zach LaVine as your starting two, you better have a guy at the one who could maybe even step over and play the harder shooting guards in the league. Like, what happened against Golden State with Klay Thompson, I don't think would have happened if Dunn was on the court. Not to that degree.
No, I don't think so either. And, like, a lot of other guys, and especially some of the veterans – that are retired now that were on some of those championship teams, they said Klay Thompson would have not gotten over 5 threes on them because they would have knocked him to the floor every time he tried to showboat like that. So who knows? And you know what? Who knows what next year's new coach is going to be doing about the different players and personnel?
So let's start with this question for you. On the team as currently constituted, do you see – name the players that you see as part of the quote-unquote core, or at least ongoing, moving forward, even on the next year's team, that you would definitely say, yeah, this guy's part of what we're going to be doing going forward.
Sure. Okay, so obviously the rookies, right?
Yeah.
Hutchison and Wendell Carter Jr. Then you've got Zach LaVine, obviously. He's a part of the core. Lauri Markkanen, part of the core. Antonio Blakeney would be a part of the core.
God. Why? Why is Antonio part of the core to you?
He's a great offensive powerhouse. I mean, he can get you 15 points a night given the right circumstances. If it's a terrible passing scheme from Jabari Parker six times a night that gives him into impossible shooting angles or having to jump up and catch the ball and shoot it because there's only a second or two on the clock, yeah, his stats are going to fade a little bit. But let's not forget this guy was putting up 35 points a game in the G League last year. He can at least get 10 or 15 in this side of the league.
Well, let's just pretend for a second that salary isn't a factor here. Let's just pretend that Jabari and Blakeney both make the same amount of money. Are you saying you'd rather have Blakeney coming off the bench last year ahead of Parker?
Well, the fact that Jabari is even coming off the bench negates what his salary is. So is Antonio Blakeney a $20 million a year guy? No way.
Well, either is Parker going forward.
Yeah.
They had to pay him that in order to get him off of Milwaukee's roster. That's one thing I think often forget to point out is that, you know, you had to offer him that much money to get him off. He was a restricted free agent. And by all accounts, the Bucks were going to match it up to 14. So, you know, that's what we had to do to get him off the roster. Maybe not go that high. I understand all that. It's a one-year deal. I don't lose any sleep on it. I want Parker gone just because I don't want to have any more arguments about him. I think he's a valuable player as off the bench and a spot starter at the power forward position. But I think most people differ with me on that just because, you know, he has a lot of lapses on the defensive end, which a lot of young players do. But Blakeney's just as bad. Blakeney's a complete disaster defensively. Blakeney's shot selection is ridiculous. He's a terrible passer. I understand people love Blakeney because he can score, and he doesn't make a lot of money. It's a nice story that he was a G League MVP and all that, but I can't stand watching him play basketball. I don't think he's a smart player, and I don't think he's a winning player. What say you?
Well, he's one of my favorite players on the team just because of that story and the fact that he can put it up in the right circumstances. He's had some hot games.
Yeah.
He's had some defensive stops, too. He's not the nightmare that you make him out to be. He's guarded some pretty tough guys.
According to Real Plus Minus, he is a nightmare defensively. He's worse than Parker. He's one of the worst in the league defensively. I know Parker's, according to that stat, I don't know. I agree. I agree to a certain extent with what some of the stuff that you say. I think Blakeney's really bad defensively. That's just my opinion. But so you think
there were games that the only people that tried on defense were Zach LaVine and Antonio Blakeney?
I will disagree with you on Blakeney's defense. I think every advanced analytic shows him to be a disaster defensively. I don't see it. I sure he tries. He puts an effort, but I just don't think he's that good defensively. I don't want him going forward. All right, so he's in your core. Sorry to interrupt. Let's go on to the other players. Who else did you say? So we got Markkanen.
Not many.
Dunn? Is he yes or no?
Dunn, yeah. We'll keep him.
So Dunn, Markkanen is a part of the core. You got the two rookies, Hutchinson and Wendell Carter Jr. I absolutely agree with you 100% on that. Anyone else besides Blakeney?
Portis, maybe, but I honestly think that we can get somebody that's better than Portis.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there, too. Let's go on to Portis for a second. So what would you pay him next year and feel, hey, that's fine, we'll bring him back?
Is there a $8 to $12 million?
Agreed, too. And so anything over that, you say adios and we'll just move on.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Because then you're getting into cap space where we could potentially sign two max players next year. And Bobby, if Bobby is in the eight range.
That would be great if we could. I mean, who knows, right, with this current situation with his knee. I mean, this is obviously going to hurt his – unless he plays out of his mind when he does come back. It's kind of a real negative, in my opinion, for the Bulls, because if he was playing well, I would have been happy to trade him.
Right.
But, you know, now what are you going to get for him, right, by the time February trade deadline rolls around? Let's move over to Parker, though, again, just for a quick second. I put this out on Twitter today. Would you rather see him – the first day he could be traded is the 12th of – excuse me, 15th of December. Obviously, you got then until February 8th, trade deadline. Or you could release him outright and just do a buyout or whatever. Out of those three options, what would you most likely want to do?
I'd rather get another guy that's on a one-year option deal that we could pick up that's roughly the same money. And see how that mix works.
So a trade as soon as possible then for a guy who's in a similar situation on an expiring deal.
Yep.
Would you be open to, you know, there were a ton of those horrible four-year deals signed in 2016, maybe a guy who's making similar money in order to get rid of Parker, who's an expiring deal, to take on a contract that might be out till 2020 for a draft asset? And if so,
depends on who it is.
How high would that draft asset be? So let's say a first-round pick. Let's say a first-round pick, but how high would it have to be for you to make that deal? Because then you're cutting yourself out of the free agency market completely next year.
Yeah, I don't think that it's worth doing a draft pick for that. I think it's just an even swap. That's what we've got to do. Because especially the way that this year's going, that draft pick is potentially pretty high. We've had some really good luck drafting some really good guys for the past couple of years. And I think with guys like Zion Williamson and other guys at Duke and some of the other ones that are making early entrances in the NCAA level, I think that this is a pretty rich class.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying full-on tank, even though I'm saying full-on tank. But I think that you want to get a little bit of room and see just what your options are before you dump any draft picks. So maybe it's picking up the contract of two different guys on some team that wants to get Jabari and roll them for $20 million a year. That's fine. It's just I haven't played the game of the ESPN trade machine and that in a while, and it's too early in the league to see any real surprising standouts, or at least guys that are on their last year that are going to want big money for some team next year. So it's interesting to kind of play that scenario out, but I don't think the Bulls should get rid of any draft picks.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think I would just – I just like to let it roll with Parker and let his deal expire. I mean, if you can get a trade asset for him in the second round or something like that, I don't see anybody, unless he really starts to play well, giving up a number one for him. But, I mean, I think there is somebody who would want him this year, especially with his ability to score. I mean, he has scored consistently. He's only had one game in – single digits in scoring. That's one thing he can do, and there's value in that. He's 23 years old. But
yeah, where would he go? Who needs a guy like Jabari Parker?
Well, you know, that a lot happens on who gets hurt, right? From between now and then. I mean, we were able to get rid of Nico. That came up because exactly for that reason is because what would happen? In the Pelicans, what's his name got hurt?
Omer Asik.
No. For the center, it was with Golden State now. My gosh, I'm having a brain spasm at this old age already.
DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus Cousins, exactly, got hurt, and they needed a second scorer, so that's how we were able to get Nico out. So you never can tell. I'm sure there's going to be an injury. If that same situation happens, you know, this year, I think there's a possibility we can get a second-round pick for him. I don't see a first-rounder coming, but who knows, you know?
Right.
What about Fred Hoiberg? Let's get into him a little bit. What's your I don't think I've listened. I've heard your show where you've really gone in on Fred. Are you a pro Fred guy, anti Fred guy? What do you think we should do with him?
Well, I think at least give him till halfway in the season and see what's happening. He's got another year on his deal next year, but frankly, if by the All-Star break he's not showing some dramatic improvement with the offense that he's got when Lowry comes back and some of the rest of the guys, I think it's time to bid farewell to Fred. You know, we've obviously not given him the ideal tool set in which his system that he's implemented can thrive. We had some really wonky years with some really strange personnel matchups as far as the makeup and the constitution of the team. But at some point, you've got to understand that if you're not a good – I mean, would Pop be able to mold – a bunch of guys with the, you know, spit, grease, and glue model and make a winning team out of it? Probably.
I don't know about the
year after year.
I don't know about the current iteration, though. I mean, this is pretty brutal. Yeah.
Just from experience sake.
I agree, though. Yeah, I think.
I would love, and I talked about this on the last episode of the Bulls podcast with Patrick Sheldon from the Windy City blog. Wise and I were going back and forth about the coaching. And I think I'd love to see LeBron freak out in L.A., Luke Walton leaves and comes to Chicago.
That'd be interesting. I'm a big fan of Chris Collins, the head coach of Northwestern. I know there's a tie-in with Doug Collins. I think they're that whole Collins family, I think they're fantastic coaches. And that's a guy I'm really looking at. You know, I don't know his current situation at Northwestern. I know he's done a lot of great things there, but you know, I don't know if he's likely to leave or not. But that's a kid I really like. Kid, he's, you know, probably what, 40 or so. But, yeah. You know, he's a guy I would look at. And I know some people might be a little bit, oh, another college coach. You know, I don't know. Just something about Fred. I don't think Fred has the intensity that you really need at the NBA level. You know, that's my biggest issue with him is he just, in the end, especially with a young team, you need to work the officials because that's the way the NBA is for whatever reason the officials call. Veterans different than they call rookies, and I just feel like you lose your team when you don't challenge bad calls. And there's been a ton on Wendell Carter Jr., Hutch, all these guys. I can go up and down the roster, and he just doesn't do that. I think Collins would. That's a guy I like. That's
it's interesting
about Bill Walton, though.
It's interesting to watch with League Pass some of the other games. And the other day I caught a Minnesota game, and I had missed how vocal Tibbs actually was on the sidelines. You miss those yell outs. Move, 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 you know.
Yeah.
All those things Tibbs used to do here in Chicago. I mean, you could see, you could hear him over the crowd as far as his yelling instructions to the team. And when they responded, it worked. I never hear Fred say anything to the team. I hardly see him even up off the bench. There was a GIF file the other day where just Fred, like, put his head in his hands, you know, like
Feeling
the stress of the actual moment. I think we need a different kind of guy, somebody that's more extroverted and emotional on the outside rather than trying to hold the stress on the inside. But I think Fred is on the hot seat, and he knows it.
Yeah.
So time will tell who we can get to come here and right this ship. But I don't think Fred's the guy to take us out of the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, I'm on record for thinking, you know, about Tibbs. Definitely, to me, he's just an overrated coach. And, you know, what he does as far as minutes is just an abomination and a joke. But the one thing I will admit that I miss about him is he knows how to work the officials. And that is a big part of the job. And he's one of the best there is when it comes to that. And I love that passion about him. That was one of the things I did like about Tom Thibodeau, and I miss it. You know, so I don't think you need to be crazy. But, you know, I think Steve Kerr runs a nice balance between – you know, screaming like a madman on the sidelines, but also saying, hey, hey, refs, you're screwing us in the calls, you know, and calling it as it is. And that's something that's severely lacking and you need for a team that's so young. Let's go a little bit into – go ahead. You going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the assistant coaches are running the game more than the coaches. Because exactly. I always see Randy Brown up and I always see – you know, I see these guys up and what's the assistant's name? I forget the guy's name.
Boylan, but... Jim Boylan.
Yeah, he's true.
And I saw Wendell Carter Jr. give a shout out to Jim Boylan, you know, the other day when he was talking about his defensive knowledge. So that's pretty interesting. I thought I wouldn't mind as Boylan as a head coach actually at some points. Now I just think Fred's too passive for this job. But and that's not saying he doesn't. I'm certain he knows the game. I know he knows the game. You know, I know he's a smart guy. He just you got to have a little bit more to be a leader of men, and I don't think he has that. Let's go a little bit into I want to talk about the backup campaign and this whole situation with the backup point guard position. So you're on record saying you like to see a whole new backup point guard situation than what we have currently right now.
I do like Shaquille Harrison a lot.
Yeah, so would I. What have you seen in him that you like?
He's scrappy. He's always trying to, you know, he's a defensive guy. He seems to really get in everybody's face, and he doesn't back down. He seems like a pretty smart guy in interviews. Doesn't take things too personally, and he seems like a really good professional guy. So I don't mind a guy like that on the roster. Campaign, it was funny that you didn't see Campaign for a good 3 or 4 games, and suddenly he's back in the fourth quarter, and you see these goofy, the guy's walking around like he's on flip-flops on the court, you know?
Yeah.
Just no lift, no finesse, no footwork. I don't know if he's still injured or what the deal is, but the guy's just, he's not very graceful. He's very awkward in the way that he moves, the way that he passes, the way that he tries to get rebounds. I don't think Campaign has a future with us whatsoever.
Agree 100% now. Yeah, he's too small. It's been a disaster overall his whole period here, and I think we're all in agreement he's got to move on. The news about Valentine out for the rest of the year, what's your opinion on Denzel? Is this it for him?
Yep, this has got to be it. I was not a big fan of what happened with Frank Nitti taunting Denzel over the summer during some pickup games that they had. You know, how did this guy get in the league? Did you get in the NBA on layaway? All that kind of thing. Denzel really doesn't have a heart, and he would have shown that guy exactly what an NBA player is if he had any heart in him, and I just don't think he does. He had a great summer league when he came out as a rookie, but I think that was the paramount and the peak of what Denzel Valentine's, there we go, career is in Chicago. I don't think he's had very many memorable moments, and I, even though they picked up an option for him, I really don't see him back.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I'm on record as being a huge Denzel Valentine fan. I think he has tremendous talent, but, you know, his body betrayed him. And his knees have betrayed him in his career, and obviously his ankle hurt him in his rookie season. I thought he played very well last year. He's clearly our best three-point shooter. He has a lot of nice moments, and, you know, now this happens. It just breaks my heart for the kid because I think he is a good kid. What are you going to do? I mean, it's just a disastrous season so far. There's no two words around it. It's just been a disaster. There are a couple good, bright, shining lights in Wendell Carter Jr., and hopefully Laurie will come back and those two will learn to work together. But, man, what a season it's been so far. Let's talk about the league a little bit in more in general. Who are you feeling now in the East, and who do you think is going to come out of the West?
I'm very intrigued by Philadelphia now that they've added Jimmy Butler.
Mm-hmm. So you like that trade?
I do. I really do. I think that immediately has impact for Philadelphia. The game just the other day where, you know, Jimmy made a game-winning save and then made the game-winning three-point shot to win it. The fact that, you know, a guy like Kemba Walker can get 60 but still lose, you know, to the heroics of Jimmy that we've seen time and time again in Chicago. He's just doing it again. I think he's really going to gel with those guys, with Embiid and Simmons and J.J. Redick. I really think those guys have a – they're not going to be soft, and they don't have this, you know, soft work ethic. I think Jimmy's going to get along just fine with those guys. Elton Brand's now their new director of personnel, and I think that I really think that they're going to have a good team this year. Do I think that they can beat Golden State? No.
Yeah.
Do I think they can beat the Lakers? Oh yeah, big time. You know, being for here in Southern California, everybody's going LeBron crazy. You know, there's goat stickers on cars, laughingly. And I don't, you know, I'm not into the hype at all about the Lakers. I could care less that they have LeBron. Doesn't mean a thing to me. But it's interesting to see that they think that this is a fantastically great team and that Lonzo Ball is deserving of an all-star bid.
Yeah.
Which is laughable.
Yeah, absolutely. How about the West, though? I mean, do you still like Golden State? You think that's definitely the team that's coming out? Is there anybody
absolutely.
Else?
Absolutely.
There's nobody else that you feel is going to challenge them going forward?
Well, I really don't. It's not going to be New Orleans. I don't think that, you know, I don't see anybody. Phoenix isn't going to do it. The Lakers aren't really going to do it. If you know, they got Chandler Parsons and they think that's going to put them over the edge. Yeah, well, let Chandler play another 30 games on those knees and legs and see how he performs. I just don't see anybody taking him on. I really don't. Houston doesn't have a prayer. There's really nobody else that can compete with the talent that's on Golden State. But then again, that depends on Steph Curry's injuries and how he comes back from that and how he fares through the rest of the season. But I think he'll come back just fine.
What do you hear in the news about Memphis, who's been surprising, looking at Joakim Noah and potentially bringing him back in the NBA? What do you think of that news?
I'd love to see Joe back in the NBA. I really would.
Yeah. Such a good guy, too. I mean, I hope so, you know. I think his game, unfortunately, is not. Oh.
Well, let's see. I mean, the guy is in some pretty phenomenal shape.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give him that. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's ripped. He's got some jumping ability. I saw him working out with Laird Hamilton in a swimming pool where he's picking up a 20-pound medicine ball and dunking it in the pool on a regulation-size rim. So he's jumping out of the water, literally, to dunk it with a 20-pound ball. So he's ripped. He's ready to go. Yeah. I'd love to see something good come for Joe. But even if it doesn't, he's still got millions and millions of dollars coming his way from New York.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that's a good point too. Yeah, he does that contract really. My goodness, what a disaster that was. But I hope he does make it in the league. There's nothing you could say bad about Joakim Noah. He's such a class act. I did want to talk one more thing about the Nico Mirotic. I can't recall what was your stance on Nico, and do you feel that it was the right move to move on from him last year?
I actually thought it should have went the other way. I thought we should have got rid of Portis. Look, yeah. how many draft picks, how many years did we wait for Nico, right? Didn't we give
Long
up
time.
A couple draft picks for him? I can't remember the
I don't know if it was a couple, but I know we did move up. Yeah,
right.
To get him.
We gave up a lot. It's just like Doug McDermott. We did give up two draft picks for him,
yeah.
And we let him slide. But, boy, he's had a downslide of a career ever since. Man, oh, man.
Yeah. Well, he's making
I wonder what we could have got instead of those two, instead of trading away those two picks.
No doubt a disaster in retrospect, absolutely. But, you know, Doug's still in the league. He signed a big deal for Indiana, and, you know, he's got that one skill, which is being able to shoot, which is going to probably keep him in the league for a long time. So it's hard to call him a bust out. I mean, he's not Jamal Okafor, who, yeah, no doubt that was a big mistake on the Bulls' part, and that is the low point for, I mean, from there, you can just trace campaign, you know, so that was it. Have you been watching the college game at all? I'd like to get your take on those three guys at
yep.
Duke. Which guy, give us a little 4-on-1 on each of them, and which one do you feel would fit best with the beloved Bull?
Oh, I'll just say it right out. Zion Williamson is the guy for the Bulls. He is the man.
Isn't he a 4 at his best position?
Yeah, but he can play 3.
At 280.
That's where I put
insane.
him.
So you think he's like LeBron-ish then? I mean, because that the weight is what I saw. I mean, 280 is insane to me to be playing the three, but I do. It's hard not to see some of the athleticism in this guy. Some of the dunks you see online are just amazing. So I haven't seen that much of him. So you'd say he's near number one. How about the out of the other two? Who do you like better?
Like RJ, I think is number two.
And as a fit for the beloved, you think he fits in at what position?
I don't know. See, I don't know enough of the rest of the guys to make that decision, and I haven't really watched a lot of other college ball. It's just gotten underway.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little premature to start talking about the draft ladder just yet.
Agreed. Marcus, before we – first of all, I want to thank you again for coming on Chicago Bullseye. Before we wrap up, number one, give us a little 411 where we can find you, everywhere we can find you again. And then also, last question, I'd like to get your – revised total number of wins for the Beloved Bowl.
That number is 26.
Oh, under Vegas, horrid. All right,
I know, and I'm gonna lose money on that one too.
Oh no,
I put the bet down.
We'll see what happens. I think they're gonna take off and Larry comes back and done, but we'll see. And then, and where can we find you?
You can find me personal is on Twitter at Marcus Couch, also on Instagram at Marcus Couch. You can find our show, The Bulls Podcast, at bullspodcast.com and at Bulls Podcast Online. And unfortunately, my co-host couldn't make it, so hopefully we'll get a another attempt at this sometime throughout the season to come back on the show, Fred. But you can follow Wise Black, who's my co-host and YouTuber extraordinaire. His handle is at @radical_creator.
Everyone follow these guys. They're a great follow and this great show. I love the fact that you're on YouTube because I live on YouTube. And it's always good to finally get some good Bulls content because I think it's sorely lacking there. So it's always great to listen to you guys. Hey, man, thanks again for coming on, Marcus. I appreciate it a ton. And you keep on doing a great job there. And I love Bulls FM too. Everybody's got to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Bulls FM.
Yeah, we didn't talk about it. Yeah.
That is a site that I put together that's got 8 different podcasts on it, and it updates automatically. So if you go to bulls.fm, you'll see right on the front page the newest Bulls, you know, any kind of Bulls-related podcast that's out there of the 8 that we have. All the different social and website and RSS and feed links and everything for everybody is listed on there. So it's just sort of something I put together that's automated, that just grabs everybody's podcast and puts it in one central place. So if you're looking to see what the newest Bulls content item is out there, just go to bulls.fm and take a listen. There's a lot of great shows out there.
Sounds great, man. Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and I'm hoping the next time we chat, which I'm sure will be in the next few weeks, that it will be on a much brighter brighter road for the Beloved Bowl. What say you?
Yep. The Big Red Leviathan has yet to unveil itself this season, but, you know, brighter days are ahead.
Sounds good, man. All right, yeah, I'm hoping it shows itself. What the heck has this season been? What a disaster so far, but I do feel brighter days are ahead. All right, my man. Great talking to you as always. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Marcus.
Glad to be on.
All right, take it easy, brother.